This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2018, held in Harrisonburg, Virginia on March 2 and 3.
It's good to be here and see all your faces this afternoon. I think it's good to do that. I'm not sure how you're feeling by now. Just had a meal, and usually this session's the worst part of the day, and then it's one on art on top of it. You're probably feeling this would be the height of misery. Well, I'm here as one of those unique people that somehow got involved in art in a culture that maybe didn't understand art as well, and neither did I. I'm here as because of a blessing of the school that I was in. So I am here while artists may be a minority in our schools. I am here to remind us that there is a place, and hopefully I can inspire you to take consideration for those that may have an interest in art, and God may be directing them into art, but they need you to help them along on that journey. I'm going to start with a testimony of Ron Medley that I read in Guideposts. It says, one of the outstanding things, on the outside, things looked okay. He had a nice apartment, good friends, long-standing job as a lawyer for the New York City Department of Finance. Inside, his life was drained of color. His third grade teacher changed his life and helped him find himself 40 years later. He didn't understand art himself yet at that point in time, but Mrs. Wiener was his teacher. She was a 21-year-old when she joined the staff at school. She was given all the jobs the teachers disliked, like taking care of the hamsters, the goldfish, and the turtles. Ron wasn't very athletic, so he stayed inside and sketched the geometric patterns on the turtles' backs. Mrs. Wiener noticed his artistic talent. So you see what happened. She connected with a boy who was not athletic, and he was trailing her around and doing drawing that she noticed. She brought Ron books from the library of famous painters. Ron loved studying the colors, the light on a face, the shadow on a hand. One Saturday, she offered to take him to Manhattan to the Museum of Modern Art. She signed him up for art classes and drove him there. She put extra time into his life. His classmates did sports. He drew. He drew his self-portraits in seventh grade and plastered them over the school to run for student body president and won. College became an obvious choice, law school the logical next step. And it went on to say that during this time, art was not emphasized. The art in high school and college became a sidestep, and he lost interest because of that. And he lost, the artist side of him got lost in that whole journey, and instead he became a lawyer. He found the artist side of him 40 years later as he studied a picture on the wall in a bar. His interest was rekindled. He did a portrait of his dysfunctional dad that was healing for him and that it helped him to forgive his dad. One day he got a call from Mrs. Wiener's son. Mrs. Wiener had cancer and was trying to track down her former students as a last life mission. They met at a restaurant, and they had a wonderful time reconnecting. His testimony today, let it never be forgotten how one's person interest in you, their willingness to encourage you, their ability to draw out your gifts can make a difference, a life difference. And one side of that that intrigued me was the way art connected with him later on in life and the way it helped him heal as he did that portrait of his dad. Art has a lot of side effects that only an artist understands, but I want to try and outline some of the practical sides of art that even in the midst of our culture, I know we think of ourselves as quilt makers, and outside of that, maybe not extremely creative people. We're more hands-on skills. But a little quiz here. What kind of artist was Mrs. Wiener? How many pictures did she help him paint? What did she do for Ron? If you followed along, she didn't paint a one picture. I'm not positive that she really was an artist, but she noticed Ron. She noticed what he was talented in, and she went out her way to get books for him, to coach him. And maybe as a school board, you can think, well, this is a nice talk, but really, what can we do to, we don't really have resources in our little community. You might have more resources than you think. Sometimes us artists just need somebody to take an interest and just show us a little beyond what we know currently. What is more important than the ability to draw or paint, to notice and encourage those who can, and seek out the ones who don't know they can? Why teach art? It may become some child's vocation. With the coming of the computer, I believe that art is a great tool for the kingdom. Art always was a tool for the kingdom. It was talked about, I painted signs some 30 years ago, gospel signs in Florida. I was serving the kingdom. I drove down to do that. But with technology now has made the resource more available for art to be used in other ways for the kingdom. Every child is going to have a dream. Most children do, at least. And we know that God has a plan. Teach today so God can use them tomorrow. The children that are in our schools, that's our goal. They have a dream. Is their dream God's dream? We don't know that. Only God knows that. My dream when I was in school was to become an auctioneer. It's what I live for. I had an uncle who was an auctioneer. By the time I was 16, I had my apprentice papers all ready to go. And by divine providence, at the last minute, I believe it was a God, I got herded differently. And I was a bit at sea for a while because my dream, what I thought I was going to do with my life, suddenly it changed. My first attempt at a real job was at a parts counter, selling tractor parts. And that is when I learned to know myself more in depth than I had up until that point. I did know myself. But in Lancaster County, there's about 25 people with the name John, and the last name is different. It might be Glick, Esch, Stolzfus, Zook, Lapp, Peachy, or Breckroll, or Martin. And when you work in a parts environment, there are numbers all day long. It didn't fit. It didn't fit me. I was a frustrated person. I would get parts in the wrong bin. I would send it to John Zook when it was supposed to go to John Lapp. And if you are farmers and you're waiting on a part and it went to John Lapp and you're John Zook, you're not happy. My boss wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. Life became a blur for me. I'm not sure why I didn't get fired. But it was a time of being introspective. What does God have for me? Now, I'm going to give you just a little overview of my schooling years. I grew up when my parents, this Christian day school movement was just really getting traction, and my parents were observing a little bit. They were a bit cautious to just jump on the bandwagon right away. So my first few years, I went to public school. That's me in the blue shirt there on the far right. It was getting to be a very, very uncomfortable environment in public school. But one thing that public school did that really fit me well, and that was they did have an emphasis on art. Now, I say art being in a broader sense. Art can include music. It can include dance. I was playing the trumpet, I think it was. The other thing that public school did, in grade four, I transitioned to a Christian day school, and I found out it was extremely hard for me at that point to transition to a Christian day school, and my parents couldn't understand why. I could get very good grades very easily in public school, but when I transitioned to Christian day school, it suddenly became hard work, really hard work. I grew up in the Dick and Jane series of readers, and my report card reflected something. I want you to notice one place where I got all O's, which means outstanding. This was my second grade report card. It said, learns words by sight. All right, I was a visual person. I was visual. I looked at pictures. I read with the help of pictures. That's how I got my elementary training. And then I transitioned to a Christian day school where at that point in time was very light on pictures. It was heavy on text. You had to read, ponder. It was a difficult, difficult transition for me with an artistic bent that I didn't understand. Obviously, at that point in time, my parents didn't understand it. My parents were not artists. They don't know where in the world I got the desire to be an artist. But it became very repetitive, dull, boring. School became just plain down hard work from what it had been. Now, I'm going to just show you one of my public school first grade art pictures, and you can tell that I'm going to have a career in art someday, right? You can just see it right there. All right, I was a normal child doodling around, okay? I didn't know I had the gift. My parents didn't know I had the gift. I was a doodler. Our talents are developed. Notice my grade at the top here. It says okay. It doesn't say great or wonderful or outstanding. It says okay. But by the time I was, I think this might have been about fifth grade, people started noticing that maybe I'm an artist. It seemed like, yes, it just came a little easier for me than it is some of my classmates to do some of these drawings. And in all due respect, I want to say that while the Christian Day School movement was just getting traction, so to speak, and art wasn't a heavy emphasis, and it was pretty much left up to the teacher to throw something at you to do and fill up this slot called art time. In spite of all that, I was blessed with a board that apparently saw a vision to make sure that art does get included in the school. And by the time I was in ninth grade, they paid an artist to come in. I assume they paid, unless he donated his time. I don't know. He was a married man. But he came in just to teach art class. And that was my time of awakening to the fact that, you know what, this is something I really loved. It moved from something thrown at you, draw these lines, do this perspective drawing, do this here, to somebody that came that had an interest in it. And that is what inspired me. That is my picture that I painted in ninth grade because of a visiting art teacher, because of a board that had a vision to send him there. And that is what put me on the journey to my career of now 36 or 37 years as a sign artist. After school, I did go into some personal training on my own, J. McVeigh Art Studio, to learn pictorial painting. That was my second picture at art school under his tutorship. And I used that to do the typical Lancaster County thing of painting milk cans and coal buckets and mailboxes and all kinds of those things. But I discovered something, and that is an artist doesn't become valuable overnight in Lancaster County Mennonite community, and there is something like a starving artist. And by this time, I was dating a young lady that I really, really liked and I wanted to be able to support. And while it was nice to be able to paint, if you got in trouble, you could just paint her something nice and she'd like you again, it didn't pay the bills. It didn't look like something that would make a real, real good living. And I was really trying to discover, who am I? Who am I? And what do I really want to do? What can I do? And I thought, well, maybe I could do commercial art, like letter trucks. Now, remember, this was before computers. This was back when you did everything by hand with a paintbrush, and this was back when I never pictured there'd ever be a computer that could actually do lettering, especially paint a picture. I figured there's never going to be a day that that would be a possibility. I always thought that would be a job security that I have that no computer would ever do. And that's how much technology has evolved in my lifetime. And I can't imagine what the next 30 years is going to do with all the advancements that are coming out now. But I was in this question mode of where am I, what do I want to do. I decided to try for a job in the sign industry. And I was told by one of the leading sign men in the area, he said, typically artists do not make good sign men. And I was a little discouraged by that. My first attempts at hand lettering did not go well at all. In fact, the first one was rejected. But I want to show you something else from my early report cards. My second grade report card, N stands for what? Needs improvement, all right? Notice what needed improvement. Makes cursive letter forms correctly. Needs improvement. Makes number forms correctly. Needs improvement. Uses good size, proportion, and spacing. Needs improvement. What was God preparing me to be? A guy that does that all day long, all right? Second grade, I wasn't good at it. I got needs improvement. Why was I able to overcome that stereotype? I believe it's because I had teachers that invested in me. I had teachers that inspired me. Even though I was an artist at heart and liked to doodle and liked to draw, they made me, they disciplined me, they made me slow down, take my time, do it right, make it nice. And I had a school board that was willing to pay a married man to take off from work and come and teach art in the high school grades. I got a good balance. I got a good balance of education. I got what I needed for my career, and I got what I needed in a lot of other ways because of the disciplines. One teacher invested in my penmanship very heavily, and I believe that was one of the greatest contributions to what God called me to do early on when I had to do everything by hand. Penmanship, she was very, very strict on it. Well, school introduced me to a knowledge of color, color mixing, and watercolor. One day, making color became very important. This was before printers, like I said. I had to know which colors to dump together to make the color that I needed to go on that truck or that sign or whatever. And hand-lettered all day long, no computers. If the phone rang one time, you had enough work for maybe 2-3 days, but times have changed. But I want to just say a little bit what art did for me in school that the teachers probably weren't aware. But I had one teacher that was, I'll say, a stickler at making us do perspective drawing. Like I said, it was not a curriculum in art. That was her thing. Hey, draw this. Hey, draw that. You know, make these lines converge. And I was sick of doing perspective drawings. I got so tired of it. But interestingly to me, when I got into the sign business later on in life, even with a computer, perspective drawing was hugely important because you have this rectangle of a logo and you want to superimpose it on a building to show to the customer. The computer doesn't automatically, yeah, it has distortion tools, but it doesn't automatically distort it for you. You have to know the mechanics of it all. You have to know that back corner has to go down and the bottom one has to go up to make the sidewalk plane and the roof. You have to know that in here. And today I'm hiring people that went through school. They know a lot of good things, but they don't know how to make that thing look right on the building. They never had perspective drawing in school. And it can be very frustrating to them if they just don't have it at all. You notice there, it is on the building. It's the same rectangle, just made to look like it is attached to the side of the building. Or maybe you want it perpendicular. What if they want it out over the sidewalk? All right, it's a whole different set of values that you use to get it to look like now it's coming out from the building, same rectangle. But I pity those that never had any perspective drawing in school. It's a lot harder to learn later on in life. And they asked me to come over, tell me which corner to pull here. What am I doing wrong? This isn't looking right. Computers do not make you an artist. If a child misses some of the foundational stuff, either from his parents or in school, he won't automatically become an artist. He can doodle, he can have an eye for it, but it does not make you an artist. Now, I want to look at the top 10 reasons that I came across that art is valuable. I'm standing here as someone who benefited from art as a career, but even if you don't benefit as a career, there is something about art that is good for the mind. The arts allow children to express themselves in creative thinking. If children have practiced thinking creatively, it will filter home and into their play and recreation and get them away from their phones. I believe sometimes that some of our children lack creative initiative and all they know to do is doodle on their phone. Teach them how to do it with their hands. Teach them to have fun with their hands. One of the reasons some children may be bored is because they don't have creative thinking parents. My dad was a welder. My mom was a good cook. But they weren't artists, all right? They the school needs to fill these gaps in our homes. It may come naturally to them as they mature and even assist them in their career. Some children can express deep feelings better with pictures. Counseling centers sometimes resort to drawing to understand a quiet person. When I took counselor training, one of the things that I was told is there might be some people that can't verbally explain to you how they're feeling, but you ask them to draw. It might just be a stick drawing, but they might be able to explain how you feel. There's something about art that connects for those who have the gift. All right, number two, improved academic performance. The arts don't just develop a child's creativity. The skills they learn because of the arts spill over into academic achievement. A report by Americans for the Arts states, young people who participate regularly and actively in the arts through one full year are four times more likely to be recognized for academic achievement. Art takes discipline. Now, I know art is much broader than pictorial art, which we're focusing on here. But there is something about art that, and the discipline of it, that I believe enhances other aspects of education. Number three, motor skills. Younger children who do art or play an instrument are advantaged in motor skills. Simple things like holding a paintbrush and scribbling with a crayon are an important element of developing a child's fine motor skills. According to the National Institute of Health, developmental and milestones around age three should include drawing a circle and beginning to use a safety scissors. Around age four, children may be able to draw a square and begin cutting straight lines with the scissors. These are all good motor skills that, whether they become an artist or not later on in life, it is good for them to master that coordination. Fourthly, confidence. While mastering a subject certainly builds a student's confidence, there is something special about participating in the arts. Just like the conquering stage fright is a boost to a child's confidence, so some art forms can be inspirational to those who do not know that they had the talent. Art should not be a competitive sport that underachievers hate, but a volleyball game where the less talented set for the spike and have fun and learn beside the best. I think as a school board, it should be your desire to have a comfortable art class where there's interaction so a child that is like me can discover their talent, discover who they are by observing those around them. As they improve and they see their progress, their self-confidence will continue to grow. Visual learning, number five. Especially for young children, drawing, painting, and sculpting in art class helps develop visual awareness. Dr. Kenny Carey Friedman, head of the art and design education at Northern Illinois University, says, children need to know more about the world than just what they can learn through text and numbers. Art education teaches students how to interpret, criticize, and use visual information, and how to make choices based on it. There is something about telling a child to make that turtle and look at a real turtle, that they suddenly discover things about real turtles that they never would have taken time to observe before. How the legs are scaly and how the shapes are on its back. And oh, they play with turtles, they catch them, whatever, but do they take time to really, you know what, look at this turtle, just look at this turtle. The arts draws that kind of thing out. Number six, decision making. The arts strengthen problem solving and critical thinking skills. Arts is not fact. It demands that you make a judgment call. We have this thing, and I have a sign business now, and we have this thing where finally, we're here to please the customer, and I keep saying it's what the customer wants. I can think it looks ugly, and they can think it looks beautiful. Art doesn't have the boundaries. It involves decision-making. It means that it teaches when to say this is good enough or when to say this needs more. Did I add too many animals to look realistic? I remember in art school, he said, your Aunt Jemima is going to say, put a squirrel and put a cat and put a mouse and put, after a while, you have an unrealistic picture. All right, that you learn those things as you work through art. Learning how to make choices and be decisive will carry over into education and other parts of life. There is certainly a valuable skill. This is certainly a valuable skill in adulthood. Perseverance. I know from personal experience that the arts can be challenging to learn. I think I told you my first attempt at hand lettering got totally rejected. I was almost too embarrassed to show it to them, but I did, and I got the reaction I feared. Many times the first brush strokes don't get you the desired results. Often I became so frustrated that I wanted to quit. Children need to learn some perseverance as they grow. They need to develop new skills and work through difficult projects. Just like I had to tackle writing those letters nicely, I think it's good for some other children to tackle at least trying to do this picture, at least trying. And where there is a will, there usually is a way if you want it bad enough. Number 8, focus. As you persevere through painting or singing, focus is imperative. Every layer of depth needs to be added at the right time. With art, you have to put your background first, and the thing, and you have to learn to look at the world that way and translate it to your canvas that way. You have to visualize beyond the current stroke of the brush. 3 reasons that you may not be able to draw is, number 1, you can't keep your mouth shut long enough. It takes more focusing than you can hardly do. Or you have a harsh inner critic because you compare. How many people failed their first driver's test and gave up? Where there's a will, there's a way. And I think sometimes it benefits children to not give up the first time, to keep on trying, and they might be surprised what they can do if they have that inner critic inside of them. You label the object too much. That's another reason that some people have difficulty drawing. If I'm trying to do a boat in the water, the bottom line in that boat is the bottom of the boat that we see above the water and the top of the water line. You have to think, now, am I drawing the top of water here, or am I drawing the bottom of the boat? It can make a difference in whether you'll have a correct-looking picture or not. Follow one course until successful. Focus. Number 9 is accountability. An unfinished picture is an embarrassment. The ones who don't stick at it have nothing to show when it comes to art. Art makes smudges. Mistakes are a part of life, and learning to accept them, fix them, and move on will serve children well as they grow older. Dropouts can't hide in art. It's very obvious if you were or were not successful when you do art projects. In school, I drew these shapes. Now I make signs that have shapes that I learned to draw in school. I'm going to just run through a few things here that these aren't all a part of my industry necessarily, but I want to just stimulate your thinking into how the arts benefits society. We are a UL-listed sign manufacturer, which means that we have to make drawings to go out with our projects, typical installation patterns and all that to go along. It's one part where the mechanical side of art filtered into our business. Today, the pictures come out of machines that I never imagined would be possible a number of years ago, but it still takes an artist at the helm. Just a little bit of some work we do here. Supermarket interior displays. Those are some items that are going to be hung on walls and hung from ceilings in a supermarket. Decals that involve simple art. I hire various levels of artists in my industry. Some aren't good at pictorial art and that kind of thing. That's okay. I need some artists that learn just how to do basic drawings, to make decals and labels for own equipment. Trade show displays. Every book is touched by an artist. The ones that sell well usually have an attractive cover to go with it. Art throughout the book. Company logos. We are an industrial Mennonite community. We're making things. We're making widgets and gizmos. We're not doing as well at marketing them maybe as what we could, or we're depending on resources outside of ourselves to come up with a marketing strategy, to come up with a logo to go with it. It's another aspect of art that has a very practical outworking that we, our communities, depend on. Brochures and printing industries. It takes typesetting, yes, but it also takes a lot of pictorial work. It takes someone at the head of it, laying it out, thinking it through, finding the nice pictures, looking at it through the eye of a photographer. Web and mobile app design, there's a lot of creativity goes into that. Vehicle advertising, we do a lot of vehicle lettering. We call them moving billboards. Bulletin boards. I think our teachers are starting to get lazy with all this printing, just like we all get lazy in some ways with technology. But I think it's important that we keep teaching the arts, keep it alive, all right? Promotional items. I wanted to say this as a start, and I missed out on it. I'm not sure how to say this carefully, but we don't know what God's plans are for our life. And as men, we have more choices than maybe our sisters do. But I believe that the arts holds a lot of possibility for male and female. If you are not a nurse, you're not a caregiver, and you're a female, and you're not a teacher, what are you going to do? And if you'd end up needing to support yourself. And I think the arts gives a lot of opportunity because of technology, because of the many aspects now that art touches through printing, it gives a lot of place for sisters to be a part of creating calendars and marketing, embroidery, and printing, screen printing, that kind of thing. A woman's touch is a great thing. Very valuable. Trailer graphics, that's something we do. We do a lot of trailers, large format printing. Textile design and printing. You know, every one of you that's wearing a printed dress, somebody sat down and thought of a nice pattern, or you wouldn't have that dress you're wearing. You know, there are Mennonite ladies that are doing that. They're actually designing. So if you don't like any of the dress material out there, go ahead, make your own. Make your design. Let's get it into production. On-premise signs is something that we do. Interior design and architectural elements, while they're not maybe as closely associated with the arts as what we tend to think, they are art. I don't think the civil engineer will think about putting a glass window in their house that has a clock on. But an artist would maybe think of something like that. It's beautiful. Look out through the window and see the time at the same time. Now, isn't that efficient? All right. Color coordination. There are furniture stores and businesses that need people that understand color. They understand what colors go together and what colors don't. It makes a difference between getting the sale or losing the sale sometimes. If people don't have good people on the sales floor to help and assist in color coordination, they might not get the sale. They might go down to the neighboring business that has people more advanced in those things. A valuable skill to bring into our communities. Now, here's a true artist's house. I couldn't help but put this one in. This fellow is an artist at the core. He's a 3D artist, and he's been working on this house now for 4 years. That is all made out of concrete and wire and steel and you name it. All right, doodling, pinstripes and graphics. I used to do it on the corners of my paper in school. Now I do it some in other ways. 3D art in retail environments. Part of interiors and stores sometimes involves three-dimensional art, actually creating. They're now coming out with printers that are starting to pick up on that. But the large stuff still is not done with printers. It's coming. Packaging design, you know, when you set that cereal box on your kitchen table, if you do, somebody designed that, right? Somebody thought through how to make that attractive so somebody wants to buy it. We have a lot of product we grow and things that we make. It needs boxes. It needs labels. It needs things put on it to... We live in an aesthetic world. We live in a world that is attracted to aesthetics. And if we don't do our part in marketing our items correctly, aesthetically, we may not get the amount of client base we desire. Menus and food marketing. That's another part of the industry that involves art. That's a picture of the current team that I work with, and I put this up to say that about 25% of those men I would call true artists, artists that really think outside the box. But they provide work for about the other 75%. And the other interesting factor, as I looked at that picture, it only hit me recently that about two-thirds of that crew came from our local Christian school about a mile and a half from my house. School's been going for quite a while. But in my industry in particular, we win this job basically by design. Yes, price is important, but it's a lot by design. Either they like what we came up with or they don't like what we came up with. And people that are skilled, people that have been schooled in art are extremely, extremely valuable because it gives you an edge over a competitor. And they are technically, in my industry, artists are technically at the head of the pack. If I don't get the job because I didn't have a good artist, the install crew won't have work, the shop won't have work, the welder won't have work. It all comes back to, I need a good artist to be up front to help market the product. Might there be a student in your school that statistically, a potential employer would say, academic achievers don't make good artists, but because there was a school board willing to invest in the diversion, there was a child developed in the arts to serve the kingdom of God. They learned to spell, write, add, subtract, memorize, and draw. And that's my desire, that we give a balanced curriculum to those who, like me, were growing up, parents didn't know for sure what my career. Some of you are blessed to, yeah, dad farmed, you just step right in it, whatever. That wasn't me. I tried welding and it was awful. I wasn't all that mechanically inclined. But thankfully, I had a school that drew me out. I had a school board that saw the vision, the need. And this was a note that I found in preparing for one of these talks. It said, "Dear Howard, I enjoyed having you as a student. Always remember to be diligent in the tasks you face. May you follow Jesus in all of your life. Keep up the good artwork." And that was from Sister Ellen. Why teach art? It may be someone's future. It may be someone's future. And if it isn't their future, I think they'll learn a lot of valuable things in at least trying. That maybe they'll be the one that someday would just do the crude drawings. Maybe they'll be a designer for some building, some builder, architectural design. Maybe it won't be the art that I'm talking about. But you never know where God can use those lines, those circles, the balance of a good academic teaching as well, how God might want to use that to benefit the kingdom of God. And one thing I do want to say, that I feel that in this day and age, with all the connectivity that we have now, art is a highly functional thing to be used in the kingdom of God. You can draw as well, as good in Guatemala on a computer as you can in Australia, and you can send it just as quickly to a home base somewhere. I believe art has the possibility of giving opportunities for advancing the kingdom of God. No matter where you go, people need those visuals, people need those signs, people need those decals, people need those. It's a universal need, and it's very transportable with the help of technology today. May God bless you as a board as you look out for each student that he has put in your care.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.